proverb here. I'll just read kind of in the middle of it here a little bit. It says, a false witness shall not be unpunished, and he that speaketh lies shall perish. Delight is not seemly for a fool, much less for a servant to have rule over princes. The discretion of a man deferreth his anger, and it is his glory to pass over a transgression. The king's wrath is as the roaring of a lion, but his favor is as dew upon the grass. A foolish man is the calamity of his father, and the contentions of a wife are a continual dropping. House and riches are the inheritance of fathers, and a prudent wife is from the Lord. Slothfulness casteth unto a deep sleep, and an idle soul shall suffer hunger. I thought that was what struck me when I was reading. And he that keepeth the commandment keepeth his own soul, but he that despiseth his ways shall die. He that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord, and he which he hath given him, he will pay him again. Chasten thy son while there is hope, and let not thy soul spare for his crying. A man of great wrath shall suffer punishment, but if you deliver him, yet thou must do it again. Hear counsel and receive instruction, that thou mayest be wise in the latter end. Amen. Slothfulness casteth us into a deep sleep, and we don't want that. Amen. Amen. Want to be up and about the Father's business. Amen. Let us go to the word of prayer. Dear Father, Lord, we thank you for leading and guiding us, keeping us, Lord, through the week, and thank you for health and strength. Thank you for being with the kids this week and their school. And thank you for all your blessings. And pray that you would be with those that have needs upon the hearts, Lord. May they recover from a sickness, or if they have friends in need, their loved ones, may you just move on the scene, Lord, and answer the prayers there. We pray and be with those overseas that are struggling, Lord, those that needs upon the hearts, Lord. May you just continue to draw us close to you in this hour, and be with us now this evening. The words that are spoken, may you be glorified. Yes, Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Yeah.
Share it.
Give thanks to the Holy One.
I look up. Thank you. flesh and blood his substance. He took the form of man, revealed the
so thankful. Man, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we are so very thankful. As we heard the prophet say one day, that he was so thankful, Lord, that you were mindful of us. Lord, I could just sit and think about that for a long time. You thinking about us. We read a couple of messages back, Lord, about Brother Branham said that you longed to be with us. And Lord, I've passed that quote out a few times, Lord. It's so good. We're so happy, Lord, that you have showered us with the blessings of your mess, with your Holy Spirit, Lord, with your life. And we pray you'll bless us again tonight. We thank you for the healing and for helping Martha and Michael and the children, Lord. We pray that you'll just bless us together now. We ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. You be seated. So the last service, we didn't spend a whole lot of time in that service, but I didn't want to get into these other things on the end of that one and not have time to, you know, to really go through them and talk about them. But the last service, the title of the message is Zero Comes After Laodicea. And when we read that quote this last time, we saw Brother Branham talking about in Countdown how that the zero come after the Laodicea age. And he was comparing it to the countdown that they were doing, because when the countdown come in, when they got to zero, that's when they hit the ignition. Right. And that's when they had liftoff. Mm-hmm. And I thought about that being the eighth. Brother Bram said when it comes back around to the first, that it goes back around, that it comes back around without a stopping place. He said it speaks of eternity. Good. And I thought about, and then I got to reading about the eighth day, and I saw where Brother Ram talked about Moses sat in the boat for 8 days. Because he had told them when he went in the boat, he told his children that tomorrow, we're going in the boat, and tomorrow it's going to get dark and start raining. Mm-hmm. And the next day coming, it didn't get dark. And they sit there in that boat for 8 days, and on the eighth day, it done what Moses said it was going to do. And it got dark and the rains come. And all that work that had been going on for all that time, now the water lifted that work. And it become far more than, it become refuge now. Whereas it had been a laughing spectacle for so long, now it was a refuge. It was the thing that carried them over. And you know, it just go on. There's so many things Brother Branham talked about. That Isaac was the first one to be circumcised after he was born. He was circumcised on the eighth day. The cutting off of the surplus was on the eighth day. And then Brother Branham also said that's when they were named. That's Brother Branham said that's when he was given his earthly name, Jesus. And said, if we got to look, if we start looking, you'll see that... Jesus rose on the seventh day, or he rose on the eighth day, on Sunday. Because Sabbath day, they considered Saturday the Sabbath day. So he rose the day after that, which would have been the eighth day. And there's so many things. We looked even at that about Brother Branham sitting in that room for 8 days. And on the eighth day is when the seventh seal was opened. And, you know, he talks about that the seventh seal is the end of all things. He said, under that seventh seal, all things end. He said, it's where time blends into eternity. And so there's so many things on that. I mean, we could go on about that, but there's a lot. And so I wanted us to keep kind of going along that thought of that eighth day, that work that's after. After a work that takes place in time, there's a work that takes place outside of that has nothing to do with it. Brother Branham, you know where we're headed because y'all all know where that's at in future home of the earthly, of the heavenly bridegroom and earthly bride. And so it's in there. Y'all know that's in there. And so we're headed that way. And then there's some after that too, where he doesn't say eighth day, but you know what he's talking about. But I mean, if we took a minute, if we took a while and we just started going through the message, you'll see how many places where he talked about in souls that are in prison. He said, after he had laid his life down, then he preached to the souls that were in prison. And he talked about how that was the third pull. And he talked about how that, well, there's a lot of stuff that we could go through. When he was in souls in prison, he talked about there being, when God left the throne of mercy, that was another message. Because we think he's left the throne of mercy, the message is over. But we're going to read tonight why he was there to begin with. And when he leaves the throne of mercy, now what can take place? Whereas it couldn't take place back there when Jesus rose, it could take place now in this day. And why? And Brother Branham, he just really nails that down. So let's start here, though. I wanted us to look at this about sons, because I think it's very interesting when we think about what our inheritance is. Do you remember over in the book of Matthew, the 17th chapter, the 1st to the 5th verse, Jesus on Mount Transfiguration? You've heard, hear ye him, the sermon I just hear about a year ago preached, become so popular, hear ye him. The placing of a son. In Ephesians 1:5, the placing of a son. Didn't say the making of a son, the placing of a son. Ephesians 1:5 also, God has predestinated us unto the adoption of sons. And how has he predestinated us to be adopted as sons? Through Jesus Christ. We're placed. What did he say adoption was? It's when you're placed as sons. The placing of a son in Ephesians 1:5 also, God has predestinated us unto adoption of sons. See, a family, when a son is born into it, it's a son then. When you're born into the family, you're a son right then. But listen, what happens? But that son had tutors to raise it. And if that son never did come to be the right kind of a son, he never become heir. What did it mean about not becoming the right kind of son that would keep him from becoming heir? But if he was the right son and the son that would obey his father, this is what it means to prove that you're a son, the right son. And then that son was adopted or placed positionally. He become heir of what the father had. After what? After he proved his obedience. What did he say, Brother Ram, say he put us all down here for? From Adam all the way down? To be tested and tempted. That's what he said. So that's why we went around the word. That's what God was doing on Mount Transfiguration when he took his own son after he had been proven to be the right son. When did he take him? After he had been proven to be the right son. See, and who does our proving? What did he say up there a while ago? That we were predestinated to unto adoption, unto placing, unto proving by Jesus Christ. And who do we overcome by? Jesus Christ. Who does the proving? God. It's always been his word to prove. It never changed. And after he had been proven to be the right son, see, and had stood all temptations, he took him up on Mount Transfiguration and overshadowed him. All right. So let's look at what he said here. You know, I always had this question that if Jesus paid the price back there when he died, and I believe he did. But my question was, why didn't we just all resurrect right then? Why did we have to all be born in sin and go through these things? He's already paid the price. I never understood why that was when I was younger. And as I started looking at it, I found quite a bit that Brother Branham talked about it. And here is the thing that really settled it for me. Then you Catholic people, see, you can go under the jurisdiction of a pope now, saying that he is the apostolic succession from Peter. So in other words, you can listen to the pope because you believe he came all the way down from Peter. And this pope and this church teaches so contrary to the first word, which God recognized. In other words, God recognized Peter, but they're so far from it, he's not recognized them. But you're recognizing them. That's what he's saying. By signs and wonders to be his church. And to see that same word being brought forth today in its purity. In other words, you're recognizing this Pope now, whom you say is descendant from that. And yet right in your midst is the purity of it being brought forth, and you're ignoring it. Being brought forth today in its purity, showing the same resurrection that he had there. It's showing the same resurrection that he had there. God living among his people, doing the same things. Then you can recognize a headship in Rome or any other headship than God. Anything that your idea or your thought about it. Our headship is in heaven. I'm not going to Rome. I'm going to heaven when I die, see? The headship is in heaven, and the body must follow the head. Now listen to what he's saying here. As the wife follows the husband, that's how she must follow, the bride must follow the head, is how the wife follows the husband. Being that Adam was not deceived, he walked out with Eve. Eve was deceived. She was in the transgression, or the int, or if she had not been in the transaction, if the transgression. Now, just stopping just a minute. This is all mankind that has fallen under Eve's transgression, because all of them are deceived now. We're all born in sin. So he's given us a type, see? She was in the transgression, or the entire resurrection of the whole body would have came forth at that day. When the Lord Jesus came forth. If there had not been that deception, if she had not been deceived, see? And why is that? And he had to redeem her, which is his body. She has to be redeemed in order to come to him. She's still got to come to him. She's redeemed and she's still got to come to him. There still has to be the placing. There still has to be that. And Brother Branham, you look back at the first church age. Look what happened back there. Brother Branham said, the faith once delivered to the saints. The faith, not a faith. The faith was given to them. The faith was given to Adam. The faith was given to them. And what did they do with it? Brother Branham said that Adam and Eve rejected it. He said the first church age did what? Went whoring. It's a horrible word. But she went whoring. He said, even when he spoke to the first church age, he had all with them right then. Because already they had started to rely upon, well, this one said it, so it must be right. It's fine that a man said it, but that's not how you base it. We base it because God showed you it was the truth. Okay? That's it. There's no other way. And Satan so sneakily started to do that. He started to pull them off just a little bit. Brother Branham called it the arm of flesh. He started to pull them off just a little. And it's here today. Let me tell you, brother and sister. It's here and it's wide open. You got entire churches, not just message churches, entire churches that do just what the other one says. Now, Brother Branham said it. He said he saw more often than not they take the pastor's spirit instead of God's spirit. Remember what we read? This was it the last message or the one before, where Brother Bram said they look more at the messenger than the message. Remember we read that quote? Satan hates that. He hates for you to point out what he's doing. And he'll attack it with religious fervor. Let me tell you, he'll come at it with religious fervor. He'll bring this quote and he'll get that quote and he'll just come at it hard. Defending this man or defending that man. Nobody needs to defend anything but the word. If you defend the word, then you'll be defending any man standing on that word. That's all we have to do, defend the word. And we don't have to defend it. We stand on the word and God defends his own word. So that's where it's at, right there. But Brother Branham said that every one of us would have came forth back there if Eve had not been deceived. So what is the redemption about? See, I always wondered, what is seven church ages of redemption for? He's not paying for our sins. He already paid for our sins. Brother Branham said when he bowed his head back there and said it's finished, it was finished. Everything that he knew I'd ever do had already been paid for right there. He paid for it right there. So he wasn't presently paying for it. Brother Branham said he was on the mercy seat. So he would say, Father, I died for them. Remember, go read those quotes. Brother Branham said, that's what Jesus says to the Father. I died for them. I paid for that. Paid for them. That's why he's there, see, because of our ignorance. Because if we're ignorant to what God is, who God is, then we can't come to him. That's what he's talking about right here. But he had to redeem her, which is his body. She has to be redeemed in order to come to him. That's the only way she can come to him is she's redeemed. And that's why all through the church ages, there was a baptized to be filled with receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. There was a way to come and repent for the things that you had done wrong. All through the church ages, that was there because you had done these things and they were wrong. And that's why he had to stay there. You were doing the wrong things because you were ignorant. You did not understand how to come to him. That's when you lay down this world is when you come to him. And that's what was happening all through the church ages. Some back there at that first church age, they were living so close to him. But before he could marry her, before that real closeness could come, that closeness that there's no backing up from, there's no undoing, that closeness that's final, that's knit when you become one, that didn't happen. It got so close. Redemption had to take place first. Do you see it? Oh my, see, it couldn't have happened then. The redemption is going on. Now you see the seals? Now do you see the seals? The redemption going on? Now do you see the seals? When he was in the mediatorial work back there redeeming, but someday he comes forth to get this book that's his redeemed. He comes forth to get this book that he's redeemed. And all that's in this book would be him. He come to get this other part of him that came down here to be tempted and tested, and that he would make us adopted sons through him. We come from his side. And all that's in this book would be him. For that's the believer. The word's in the book, and the word is him. Remember, the seven seals opened the book, which was the complete revelation of Jesus Christ. It's God made known. And the word is him. And all that's in that, he come forth for this book of redemption.
those names are written. Now, remember, he didn't break all the seals at the last day. He broke the mystery of the seals. The seals broke all down through the time. So he was taking the book out of the Father's hand. Brother Branham said, in every age, a message went forth. And when that message went forth, those that received it were sealed away, and those that weren't, a plague was dropped on them. Judgment was dropped. So that judgment and the sealing was taking place in every age. And judgment is the sixth seal. Come forth for this book of redemption, whose names are written on the book before the foundation of the world, when he was slain as a lamb. And here he is today in his word, manifesting the same thing he did there. He's manifesting the same thing he did there. The revelation of Jesus Christ. The seals have to be broke. She can't recognize another headship. No, sir. She can't. They did back in the first church age. But she can't. She can't recognize another headship. No, sir. There's no bishop. No, nothing. She recognizes one headship. That's Christ. And Christ is the Word. Oh, my. Ooh, I love that. Yes, sir, he said. All right, so we're going to go for a little ways here in Future Home, but we're going to jump back out into that message in a minute. The future home of the heavenly bridegroom and the earthly bride. What does it mean? The earth will be loosed from the grip of Satan. It'll be loosed. Now, as he's talking about the earth being loosed here, you think about your new birth. Think about it. What does it mean? The earth will be loosed from the grip of Satan. It'll be loosed. It'll be loosed from politics. The earth is going to be loosed from politics. Politics is a plague on the earth. It's a horribleness to the earth. It'll be loosed from denominational religious systems. They'll have no power on the earth anymore. That'll be gone. And to be used for the kingdom of God, to be established here on earth. But as long it's in the hands of Satan, politics, Satan, the ruler of the earth, he owns it. It belonged to him. But now Christ has redeemed it. One time I was his property, Satan's, but not now. One time that little woman was his property, but not now. He come to loose the grip of it. Now he's talking about people, but he's also talking about the earth. He's going kind of back and forth. He come to loose the grip of it. He loosed the grip of sin, of Satan, upon my life, upon your life. And now we're not his. We're not his now. We were his. Now we're not his. People need to believe that. You know, I often have talked about how hard it was for the slaves when they were freed back there with the Emancipation Proclamation back in 1863. We read that quote about them climbing to see the sun when it rose on that day. But the point is that how hard it was afterwards. See, nobody wanted them to have their freedom here in the South. I'm sure most nobody in the South wanted them to have their freedom. And yet they had been told they had their freedom. And yet they weren't treated like they had their freedom. They weren't treated like they were not slaves. That's not. And because they weren't treated that way, it was hard for them to believe it themselves. To believe that it was much better than it was before. And go back and read about it sometime. It was awful. Have you often heard me say in prayer, take your hands off of God's property? See? Amen. I mean, you think about it. Brother Branham said that when that born again comes in you, what did he say happens? It takes over. It has preeminence. It takes over your life, brings it under subjection. It becomes owned by God. Take your hands off of God's property, see? Amen. Have to claim your own. That's your rights. Take your hands off of her. Take your hands off of him. See? Faith will do it. What will do it? Your idea. You decide you're going to do it. You decide you want it. Faith will do it. We were just reading the other night about Samson. I told Katrina, I read it and I got kind of excited over there, and I read a little bit further and I got excited again. And I told Katrina, I said, look what this says about Samson. I said, it says that Samson reached down and got that bone and he went to meet him. He didn't wait for him to come. He didn't fidget around. He went to meet them with it in his hand. I said, think about that. Two times he says it. He went at them. He went to take to them God's judgment. He didn't play around about it. He knew that, he said, Brother Bram said, God had revealed to him that he had given him that bone for that purpose. And when it was given to him for that purpose, he ran at them. He acted on faith. And many people talk about stepping out on faith, and they basically are surmising and stepping out on surmising, not stepping out on faith. Because when you step out on faith, you step out on the revelation. Oh my, not annihilated. Take your hands off of it. Loose it. He's talking about the earth passing from one condition into another. Hands off of it. Lose it. Let it go. Pass it away. It changes. The earth will change. Politics will change. Religions will change. Chaos is running rampant amongst religions and amongst governments, amongst this whole world. And you look at the weather. Look at the animals. The animal systems are breaking down. Fish are dying by the thousands and getting washed up. They had a bunch of whales the other day, just like two dozens of them just went and beached themselves up on the beach, basically killed themselves. I don't know if they were trying to get away from something or what was going on, but all the systems are breaking down. They're not birthing like to, and we destroyed the places that they live. And the earth, as God establishes his kingdom, will get rid of that. The earth will change. Politics will change. Religion will change. The denominations will pass away. Politics will pass away. The kingdom of God shall be established. Now, in my heart, in every Christian's heart, politics has passed away. Religions has passed away. All these things, worldly systems and stuff, they've passed away. And he's talking about one day in the earth, they'll pass away. All right, so we're going to jump out back into Christ, the mystery of God, for a minute, and then we'll go back into future home. Secondly, he's talking about what God's purpose, his threefold purpose was. He's talking about the second one. Now, we've read this before. There's something later on in the quote here I wanted to pull. Secondly, to have the preeminence in his body of believers, that is his bride, that he might live in people. Now, he could do that in Adam and Eve. He could have preeminence and live in Adam and Eve. Okay? But listen to the whole thing. But sin separated them. Whatever preeminence he had with them, sin could separate it, because it did. And so now there had to be some way to get it back again. What did he say a while ago? He has to redeem you first before you can come to him. Oh my. Oh, when I, this is rich to me to even think of it. See what God's purpose was? Now, why didn't he just keep Adam and Eve like that? Why didn't he just keep them like that, where he could have preeminence into them until Satan come along? Why didn't he just keep them like that? Why didn't he just let Satan not come along and just be like they were? Let's see. Why did he say that? When he would, then he would never been able to express his fullness, his full attribute, his full attribute. If he left them like that, he could not express his full attribute. Now, I've heard this explained away, that what that means is that he couldn't be Savior. And I believe that. That's true. But is that all? Is that all the attribute of God was? And not only that, he said he was going to express Messiah's in you. So he couldn't express it in you either. Then he would never have been able to express his fullness, his full attribute, because he could have been a father there. That's true. Could have been a father there. Did he say he could have been a son there? Said he could be a father there. But he has to be a son too, right? That's true. And how are we predestinated to be heirs? Through that son. There's no changing it. There's no going around it. This is the word that Brother Branham gave us. But also, he's a Savior. You say, how do you know he was? He is, because I had the experience. See, he is a Savior, and he had to express that. And he had to have people to express it too. And how could he do that? Only through Christ. How could he be a son? Only through Christ. How could he be a healer? Only through Christ. See, all things were wound up in that one person, Jesus Christ. How many things were? All things were wound up into one person. So who was the seed? Jesus Christ. He was always the seed. Oh my. When I think of it, I just see denominations pass off the scene where he has preeminence, where he is the son. Remember what we talked about here just the last few services ago, where it says it was not eternal sons, it was eternal God expressed as son. There's a difference. There's a huge difference. Because sons did not always exist as sons. God always existed, and we always existed in him. But then he expressed himself as son. And when I think of it, I just see denominations pass off the scene. And everything else just going, see? When I see God's great purpose revealing himself, and having first to reveal himself in Christ. In order to reveal his great purpose, he had to first reveal himself in Christ. The fullness of the Godhead bodily. And then to bring that fullness of Godhead bodily into a people. Now, that he would have preeminence is the oversight and the leading. That fullness of the Godhead bodily, when it come into Jesus, what did he do? He proved the word. It proved every word. It didn't turn left or right on any word. It was God manifested as Son. And there's no going around that. This is exactly what he said. All right, so I wanted to get that about him seeing the denominations just passing completely off the scene. So go back and where he references that in this quote and the one before it, go back and look at that later. Going back into future home. No. No, not annihilated. For later on in Revelations 21:2-24, he's seen the New Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven, sitting upon this earth, the New Jerusalem coming down. It doesn't mean it'll be annihilated. So the earth won't be annihilated. That's what he's talking about. The systems will be changed. Daniel saw the same thing. And we're going to read that. I think I put that scripture in. Yeah. We're going to read that in Revelations. And then we're going to reference this point that Daniel saw the same thing that it is spoke of in Revelation 21 there. Daniel saw the same thing. A rock struck the world, was hewed out without hands. A new Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven, sitting upon the earth. And Brother Branham said, Daniel saw the same thing. And when Daniel saw the same thing, he calls it a rock hewed out without hands. You see how the two scriptures are talking about it? One calls it the new Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven. And Brother Ram says, Daniel saw the same thing, and it was a rock hewed out without hands. The whole image of the systems were broke down when this rock struck. And look what this rock does. Broke down and become like chaff on a summer thrashing floor. Now you go back and you read what Brother Branham said, what this message does to the denominations when it come on the scene. It just totally, they just passed off the scene. When we just read two of those quotes right there where he said, when he sees this word coming forth like this, he sees the denomination just passing off the scene. No more an idea of walking, having to understand God by partial revelation. No more of that. It's God making himself manifest. And the rock itself, now after this rock hit and destroyed all of these denominations, systems, it says, the rock itself grew. After this rock, this new Jerusalem come down, Brother Ram said they're the same thing. So I'm not making up stuff here. Brother Ram said Daniel saw the same thing that's in Revelations 21:2-24, I think is what he says. So go. I only pulled part of that scripture. The wind packed it away. And the rock itself grew into a great mountain that covered the earth. Watch that mountain now. In a little bit, that mountain covered the earth. Now, you know what he talks about later on in the message when he talks about nothing shall hurt or destroy in my holy mountain, saith the Lord. Also, we find out here, over also in Revelations there, it said the kings, he's referencing this rock that come down and grew into a mountain. Now, he's talking about the kings of the new earth will bring their honor and glory into this mountain. This one that hit, destroyed all the systems and grew into a mountain. And it in the new earth, that they, he says, they carry, they bring, the kings of the new earth will bring their honor and glory into it. In the earth, the new Jerusalem is setting on the earth. See, it changed. It just changed. The earth just changed. You're the same man in stature. What you was when God called you, same woman. But you see, what it did, it was a regeneration. The old life passed away. The old life, it has nothing to do with that old life anymore. The struggle is over, brother and sister. The old desire has passed away. And when you used to like to drink and cuss and fuss and stew and run around and immoral, that thing just died. See? Now, when then you were Satan's instrument, now you're redeemed. Let's read about this city in Revelations, and then you can go later on and look where he talked about in Daniel, about him talking about the same city. In first, I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And who did he say was going to judge the world? The bride. God in the bride will judge the world. Coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her heaven. And what did that? And he said that was the rock that come down and hit the earth and destroyed the other things. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. Not man, men. And he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Sounds like the wedding supper, doesn't it? There shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things have passed away. And he that sit upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. That's where we want the key on there. Behold, I make all things new. He said unto me, and this is how he made them new. See, he changed the life that was in them and give new life. It makes them new. Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful, that he's going to make all things new. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of water of life freely. See, Brother Bram said, this scripture is what Daniel saw when he saw the rock coming down. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I'll be his God, and he shall be my son. And he that overcometh will be my son. See, same thing as he said about adoption. All right, so we're going to drop back into Future Home for just a little bit longer. All right, let's see. And that's what the world will be, the same way redeemed, a new heavens and new earth. Sometimes it sounds like he's saying the millennium is the new heavens and new earth. And he cautions us in there to remember that he's not. When he's talking about that, and it sounds like that, he's talking about what's happening in you, the spiritual part of it. Just like you, you are a new creature. So here, I didn't realize that was the next quote. You are a new creature. And the Greek word there, anybody knows, said. Now, I just read this scripture from Daniel. I mean, from Revelations. And what he said was, he was going to give them the fountain of water of life freely. And then right down here, and he says, behold, I make all things new. And then right down here, he says it. Just like you, the new heavens and the new earth will be just like you. You are a new creature. Remember, the bride adorned, coming down out of heaven. And the Greek word there, anybody knows, said, you're a new creature. Amen. A new creation in the same old temple. Isn't that something? A new creation. Hallelujah. Watch what happens here now. Glorious. All right. Now we find that this earth will hold the kings of the earth. This new heavens, new earth will hold the kings of the earth. And again, in Matthew 5:5, Jesus said, the meek shall inherit the earth. It isn't going to be another earth. It's just going to be the same earth. I'm trying to get the plan of redemption to you before, if I don't get nothing else. See, the baptism of fire on it will only is to cleanse it and make it fit place for his meek to live in. See? All I remember Billy Paul giving a testimony one time. He said after this message, Future Home, he said he got out in the car with his daddy and he started to go home. He said, his daddy turned around to him and said, did you understand that, son? And Billy said, oh, yeah, yeah. And he said, Brother Bradham said he looked at him. He said, Brother Bradham looked at him again. And he said, did you understand that, son? He said, no, I didn't. He said, well, don't feel bad. He said, I could count on one hand in there how many did. Isn't that something? That doesn't mean it was more than one. It just said he could count it on one hand. Like he did us, his creation to live in. Before he could come in it, he had to give us the baptism of fire. Now listen to what he's saying here. A lot of people want to say it's the same thing. But listen to what Brother Branham is saying. He had to give us the baptism of fire, then the Holy Ghost come in and live. So the baptism of the Holy Ghost burns it out, makes it a place to live, Brother Branham said. Then the Holy Ghost come in and live, baptism of fire. Then when you get the baptism of the fire, then the Holy Ghost can come in. What? As it does, it burns up as it comes in. This is so beautiful. That rock hidden and growing into the mountain. Don't miss that part. There's something there. I don't know what all's there, but there's a lot there about that rock hitting and growing into the mountain. And when the Holy Ghost can come in, then the Holy Ghost can come in. What? As it does, it burns up everything contrary to the word out of you. See, it won't believe nothing else but the word, because it is the word. See, now that's what we was talking the other day, the evidence of the Holy Ghost. Evidence that the Holy Ghost is abiding in you. It's going to believe every word because that's it is the word. That's all it's going to believe. And I'm not sure, this may have been when he had talked to Brother Holmes and they had just talked about it in the back there. I think Brother Holmes actually referenced this. The evidence of the Holy Ghost, see, the evidence of the Holy Ghost is when you can receive the word, not some system, but have a clear understanding. And what did Brother Ram mean by understanding? Brother Ram said it was revelation. You have clear revelation. How do you know the word is clear? Understand it. Watch it vindicate itself. Watch it vindicate itself. Then you know it's the word. Well, you say, I see this, do it, and that. Oh, yes, weeds live the same way, see? But it's got to be the entire word. We're living in a day that has to be the entire word. This is the ignition. You got water in that fuel, it's going to make a mess. It's going to cause an explosion down there on the launch pad. It's got to be the entire word. To be the bride, you have to be part of him. He is the word, see? And what part of him is it? The word that's promised for this day. When he calls his bride, be part of that. Could it be part of that he said he is going to make them part of the fullness of the Godhead bodily? We just read it at the beginning of the message. That was his purpose. And when he does that, what happens next? What was the threefold purpose? Restore Eden. Put things back. Take the earth back away from Satan. You get it? Don't lose that now. Notice. And he makes it a fit place to live through eternity. Notice this is still not referred. This millennium reign is still not the millennium reign. The 1,000 years is not the new earth. See, the millennium reign is a different reign. That's what we go into, the millennium. But that isn't the new earth. The new heaven. New. But you think about what he's been telling us about the earth. If you take all of the evil men out of this earth, then Satan has no place here anymore. When man fell, the earth fell. And when you take fallen man away, but that isn't the new earth, the new heaven. No, no. That's just a rest place. See, a rest period. Not at all the new heavens and new earth. Not at all where the kings of the earth bring their, whatever it was it said, gifts into this mountain. It's not that. The millennium's not that. Not at all the new heavens and new earth. For you see, in the millennium, we have things that would not go into that. It's a type. It isn't the old seventh day. It's a type of the old seventh day out of Eden. The seventh day after he made the world. The seventh day he rested in Eden and the millennium. See, the world has now almost 6,000 years old. He's leading up to 8 now. So this is where he starts leading up to 8. We're not going to get there tonight, but this is where he starts. See, the world has now almost 6,000 years old. Every 2,000 years, it's had a destruction. The first 2,000 years, the flood came and baptized it in water. The second 2,000, Jesus come and sanctified it and claimed it, dropped his blood upon it, called it his. All right, I'll come again. Now, as king with his queen, and the second 2,000 years, what did he do? He comes and gives his rest period. So now there's been 3 2,000 year periods. Then he comes to give a rest period. And then burns her off and claims it for his own, puts his own back on it. Puts his own back on it. Not Satan's anymore. God puts his own back on it now. And notice, not the perfect world, this millennium. It's a type of the seventh day. When then comes the white throne judgment. See, we still have judgment after the millennium. We're still in time in the millennium. It's a day, 1,000 years. It's a time element. Now, don't get that mixed up with the new earth now, because it's not. You might say this to me. Now, I just feel somebody might say this to me, that, Brother Branham, what are you going to do now? You're run out of complete sevens. What are you going to do now? Now, you're a dispensationalist, which I am, and I believe that God is too. Notice, you're running out of dispensation types. For if you're going to put something beyond that seventh day, how are you going to get it? Where are you going to now? So where in the Bible are you going to go get that when you've always talked about sevens being complete? He said, I can just hear somebody saying that. All right, I'll call your attention to something, see. No, I ain't out of dispensations yet. Now, zero comes after Laodicea. I ain't out of dispensations yet. I got another scripture here. And remember, all of it has to be fulfilled, every bit of it. That's why this message is that important too. Now you say, Brother Branham, you're trying to put something way over yonder beyond the seventh day, that seventh day Sabbath. And God made the earth and labored 6 days and rested the seventh, was only a type of time. Now, I'm going to leave you with that. It's only a type of time. But as I said here, we become eternal. Nobody had become eternal in the ages, in the type of time during the seven church ages. You were sealed into it. Sealed until the day of your redemption. And so that's where we're going to leave it for tonight. And we'll pick it up there on Sunday. We're going to go through there, and then there's several more messages after that where he talks about things that I believe are very closely related to it, all the way up to the end when he's talking about the rapture and talking about, you know, when he starts talking about even the word that fell on the day of Pentecost won't work this time. It won't. If that's the case, then it's not a message that was in time. This is a message outside of time altogether. And it won't be about repentance. It can't be about repentance. Because that was when we were under that age, under that redemption time, you were sealed until the day of your redemption. And there was a lamb on the mercy seat the whole time. And Brother Brown said there was another message. And if that is not the message, then he comes and preaches that message, the invisible union at the end. And what did he go down there and say? The one thing that struck me, and it will strike me till I leave this world, was when he said, look up the word justification. It don't mean forgiveness. And that should have drove down things. It should. I have told Brother Glenn one time, that was a gospel explosion when he said that. Because look what he's doing. He's talking about a message that is talking about you never done it in the first place. And Brother Branham said it was laying right there in the scripture. And at the beginning of that message, he said it's a further revelation of this scripture that Paul's talking about. A spiritual revelation of it. And you look and go pull some of these things that we went over tonight. And you look how he pulled those out of things that were said. And then there's the spiritual behind it that came and he brought those things out. Not written, but right there. Sealed up in the Bible. Amen. I'm so glad. I'm glad that y'all feeling better, and it makes it easier to have somebody pulling. Y'all were pulling, but y'all looked pretty like you felt pretty rough the other day. So we prayed for y'all after that, but we're glad you're feeling better, and the kids too. And I really enjoy watching them singing. They're really getting into it. So we praise the Lord. Let's stand. Y'all have a song you want to sing, we can sing it. I know we done sang Strong Tower one time, but we could sing it again. I know Eston likes Strong Tower. What you want to do, Eston? Sly Old Fox. Sly Old Fox? Okay, we can sing that one. Let's do it. The devil is a sly old fox. If I could catch him, I'd put him in a box. Lock that box and throw away the key for all those tricks he's played on me. 1, 2, 3, the devil's after me. 4, 5, 6, he's always throwing bricks. 7, 8, 9, he misses every time. Hallelujah, hallelujah, amen. 9, 8, 7, I'm on my way to heaven. 6, 5, 4, I'm almost at the door. 3, 2, 1, the devil's on the run. Hallelujah, hallelujah, amen. That's the truth. You know, the Bible says, in this day, that Satan is going around like a roaring lion, a raging lion. But he is on the run. He's running from God's people. He tries to torment them, but his hour is short, very short. Let's pray and we'll be dismissed. Father, we're so thankful for your word. Lord, how it gets bigger and bigger to us. Lord, not like a flashy thing of the world, Lord, but just a solid assurance in our souls, Lord. It just gets greater and greater. And Lord, we're so glad that we can stand by the flag that you've raised, Lord, your word in this hour. Lord, you've put it up high above the battle. We pray, Lord, you'll help each brother and sister, Lord, to lay aside every thought that they can do this or they can do that, or that anything depends upon them, Lord, so that they might come to your gift, which is you taking and putting in them and bringing these things to pass, Lord. And Father, we pray you'll go with us this week and help us, Lord, help each one that's not feeling well. We ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Amen.